Psalm 136 is where we will read. Very appropriate to the time of year that we are in, the holiday that we're getting ready to celebrate. But I believe the Bible teaches us that we should not just be thankful during Thanksgiving. Hopefully you have more to be thankful for than just what can be consumed in a day or just in a week. I believe we all have a lot to be thankful for, don't you? The psalmist here in Psalm 136, no one really knows who. If you're by mine, in most of your psalms you have things like a song of decree of David or a song of Asaph or a psalm of Moses or something like that under most of your psalms, but if your Bible's like mine, you probably have nothing under Psalm 136 or 137 for that matter. And that is because no one really knows who wrote this psalm. Could it have been David? Sure. Could it have been Moses? Possibly. Maybe Asaph. We're not sure. We do know that whoever wrote this psalm was at least written by the days of Solomon, because in the temple during the reign of Solomon, they sang this psalm. So it would stand to reason that this psalm had to have been written at least by that time. A lot of people might lean toward David, but we really never know. But whoever it was who wrote it, and whenever they wrote it, and for whatever audience they wrote it for, I do believe that it applies to the body of Christ today, especially during days like this. Notice what verse 1 says. All give thanks. What an appropriate time. Oh, give thanks. Oh, well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have a lot to give thanks for. Seriously? I'm going to debunk that myth in just a few moments. I'm going to give you four things why you ought to be thankful. But the psalmist says here in verse 1, again in verse 2, again in verse 3, and again in verse 26, and some believe that it's assumed in all 26 verses that the psalmist is commanding you and me to give thanks. Notice why we should give thanks. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And then read the next four words with me. For He is good. Church, you have reason to give thanks today, because God is good. Good. Oh, give thanks because God is good. And then 26 times, the psalmist ends these verses with the same phrase, for His mercy endureth forever. That God's favor, that God's love, that God's grace will never, literally in the Hebrew, will never meet a vanishing point. Never. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love will always be to the end. And the psalmist says, give God thanks because He's good. Give Him thanks, verse 2, because He's the God of gods. His mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, oh, give thanks because He's the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out, He's saying to Him, give thanks, the one who stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, give thanks, for His mercy endureth forever. To the sun, to the sun, to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars rule by night. Why? Because He's good, His mercy endureth forever. To Him who smote Egypt in their firstborn, give thanks, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts. You remember that, right? or his mercy endureth forever. I've read half of them. You're going to read the end of the rest of them. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. Say it with me. For his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh, his host, in the Red Sea. Read it with me. For his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness. Read it with me. For his mercy endureth forever. Hopefully you'll start reading it more and more, that you'll start reading it with confidence, and we might even get to the point by the end of the message that you might even believe it. Because his mercy, it endures forever. His grace, his love, it never reaches an end. There's never, church, a vanishing point to the mercy and grace of God. Never. Verse 17, to him who smote great kings, read it with me, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, read it with me, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, he slew him. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, why? Because his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth. Read it with me. Read it with confidence. For his mercy endureth. You're like, preacher, you never get to do that. I know. But I figured if you read something 13 times, much less 26 times, you might believe it by the last time. Verse 22. And even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Now you're catching on. Who remembered us in our low estate. Man, aren't you thankful for that? His mercy endureth forever? Are you serious? I love verse 24. Who redeemed us from our enemies? For his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh? For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Let me tell you, you need to give thanks today. And I'm going to make it simple. You need to give thanks today, church, because God is good. He's good. He's good. The Bible says not just when we're stuffing our face with turkey and trimmings. Not when we're just meeting with family and eating corn and string bean casserole and some of you backsliders eating sweet potatoes. Give thanks to our God. Why? Church, listen. Because he's good. And his mercy does endure forever. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always give thanks. In all things. Isn't it easy to give thanks when things are good? Like health's good, money's good, marriage is good, kids are good, job is good, church is good, preacher's even good, you know? I mean, just everything is just everything's good. It's easy to give thanks then. But what about when things aren't always good? What about when physically you're not doing well? When financially you're not doing well. When your marriage isn't doing well. When you don't have enough money to provide for your needs, you think. When things around you feel like they're falling apart. When emotionally and mentally you're just strained. Well, what happens then? The Bible says, always give thanks. In all things. When it's good and when it's bad, church, give thanks. Why? Because he's good. It may not be good. But he is good. In everything give thanks, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for you and for me to be thankful. And why can we be thankful? Simply put, because he's good. He's good. So I got 4 points for you. It'll take me about 2 hours. Settle in. Give thanks today because God is good. And I'm going to answer the question because you got that. How do we know that God is good? If we're to give thanks because God's good, how do we know that God is good? I'm going to give you four things. I'm going to fly through them. So you listen fast. I promise you I will talk fast. Number one, give thanks because God is good. And we know He's good because of who He is. Notice the Bible didn't say right out of the gate, give thanks because the Lord does some good stuff. Give thanks, and we'll get to that. Give thanks because God gives a lot of good stuff, and we'll get to that. The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. Notice, for He is good. At His very nature, folks, God is good. I mean, you believe these things when we talk about the attributes of God. God is all powerful. Are you thankful for that? I'm glad today, and I talked to our school this week, I'm glad today I serve a God that nothing is impossible to my God. It may be impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. All things. There's nothing that you're facing right now that my God cannot handle. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you can ask or think, to Him be glory. We serve a God that can do anything. He's all powerful. The theological word, if you want to sound smart to your coworkers and friends, is He is omnipotent. That just sounds cool. He's omnipotent. But the Bible also teaches that He's omnipresent, which means not only is He all powerful, but God is ever present. There's never been a time, put this in your mind, there's never been a time where God didn't exist. There will never be a time when God will not exist. There is never a place where God is not there in all of His fullness. How many of you have ever said, man, I wish I could be two places at one time? How many have ever said that? All right? Some of you are like, no, I don't want that. I would love to be able to do that. God is at every place at all times. That's awesome. You say, how is that possible? Because that's who He is. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows everything. We're going to hit that in a moment. Past, present, future. Everything you've ever done, everything you'll ever do, everything that's ever happened, everything that will happen, God already knows it in all of its complete detail. That's God. He knows everything. God is sovereign. Can I say that again? God is sovereign. He said, preacher, that's incredible. What does that mean? That means God is in control. Watching the news over the last 2 or 3 months, it seems like our world is getting out of control, doesn't it? But please hear me. What you see may be getting out of control, but I promise you the God you serve is completely in control. Not because He can do sovereign things. At His very nature, He is sovereign. He's sovereign. God is not only sovereign, but God is holy. At His very nature, God is holy. God is not only holy, but God is truth. There's only one truth. Don't you believe that? And it's God. And He is truth. He is righteous. He is just. The Bible says God is love. Not that He just loves you. Why does God love you? Let me tell you why. Because God is love. It's who He is at His very being. God is merciful. God is faithful. But at His very being, ladies and gentlemen, God is good. He's good. David said it like this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Please hear me and hear me well. There's nothing the devil can do about that. Amen? He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His creation, His creatures. We are the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Church, give thanks today because He's good. You say, how do you know He's good? Because of who He is. But not only because of who He is, but give thanks today because God is good. And we know He's good
because of what he gives.
26 times the psalmist, whoever it was, whenever it was, for whatever audience it was for, the psalmist reminds God's people and me and you today, he reminds us that God has given us mercy that will endure forever. Now you understand that's a gift. Like our kids are already making their Christmas list out. How many of your kids are doing the same thing? How many remember looking through the Sears and Roebuck catalog? That's how you picked them out. You starred everything. I remember that. And that was way before Al Gore invented the internet, right? And so that's it. And we would make Christmas lists. Things we needed, things we wanted. Most of the time we got things we needed. Rarely we get things we want. The kids are starting to make their Christmas list. Why? Because they want something that they want us to give to them. They're not going to buy it. They definitely hadn't earned it. You understand that when God gives you mercy, you cannot buy it. Well, I'll put $1,000 in the offering plate, and God bless you. Keep doing it. But that will not purchase mercy. Well, I'll merit it. I'll obey the law. Listen to me. No man can obey the law fully. Because if you could obey the law fully, Jesus Christ would not have had to come. He came to die for sinners, who Paul said, I'm chief. You cannot earn it. There's no merit that you can gain to earn mercy. Listen to me, church. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. Thus, when God gives us mercy, it's a gift. You can give thanks today because God gave you unmerited favor. He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. He gave us love. Listen to me. Everybody look right here. He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. He gave us love. And it was in the manifest presence of Jesus Christ, His Son. And God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Give thanks because He's good. How do you know He's good? Because of number one, who He is. Because of number two, what He gives. Because of number three, let me hurry, because of what He's done. You're like, you're flying through this. Settle down. Because of what He's done. Just look at our passage. This is incredible to me. Go to verse 10. Notice all the things that Jesus, or God rather, did. The Bible says in verse 10, verse number 4, by the way, says, to Him who alone doeth great wonders. What did He do? Verse 10, He smote the firstborn of the Egyptians in the plague. That's what He did. He showed Himself mighty. What else did He do? He brought Israel out from among them. He delivered God's people. They had been in bondage for 400 years. He delivered them. And He used a stuttering, stammering shepherd to do it. He brought them out. Verse 12. And you can mark these words. He stretched out His arm. With a strong hand, He stretched out His arm. He provided a way for His people to enter into the promised land. Verse 13. He divided the Red Sea into its parts. That's awesome. I mean, you know the story, right? Where Moses comes up, and they're at the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army, and he's a little mad. And they see it miles away, and they see the dust, and they see chariots, and they're like, this is not good. Moses, what are we going to do? 3 million, rather, murmuring Israelites coming to the man of God, and he goes to God and said, Lord, what are we going to do? First thing God said is, fear not. He's like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're in heaven. Fear not. Stand still. And look what I'm getting ready to do. See the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says that Moses held the staff of God, which is a representation of the power of God. And he held the staff in the air, and the Red Sea went hither and thither. It parted. And Moses, you want to talk about a miracle? Try leading 3 million Free Will Baptist Israelites through the Red Sea. Wall here of water. And the Bible says, another miracle? and they walked across on dry ground. You go outside and walk on the grass right now because it's been raining. It's only been raining for a few hours. What happens to the bottom of a sea? And it's been there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. From the beginning of time, it's wet. And yet it wasn't wet when they walked across. It's a miracle. They get across, and then what happens when Pharaoh's army comes? It's a muddy mess. And their wheels get stuck in it. And all of a sudden, the walls of water, it came tumbling down. And he said, you want to talk about giving thanks to a God who's good? How do we know he's good? Look what he's done. He divided the Red Sea. The Bible says, verse 15, he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Verse 16, he led the people. You don't have something to give thanks for? Aren't you glad for the shepherd that David talked about when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know the significance of that? That sheep can't drink out of water that's moving because their nostrils are so big and so close to the mouth that they'll drown themselves, it'll choke them out. And so a shepherd with wisdom has to lead them to waters that are still so that they can get water. And your God does that for you every single day. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. See, he led his people through the wilderness. He smote great kings. He slew famous kings. Sion and Og. What a name, King Og. He gave them land, a promised land, for an inheritance. Notice, he remembered them. He redeemed them. Verse 24, verse 25, provided for them. You don't think you have a reason to give God thanks today? You give God thanks today because God is good. Listen to me. We know He's good because of what He's done and what He continues to do. Give thanks, church, because number one, God is good, and we know He's good because of who He is. Number two, we know He's good because of what He gives. Number three, you give thanks because God is good, and we know He's good because of what He's done. And fourthly and finally, you give thanks because He's good. And we know He's good because of what He knows. Now, I want to end it here. I want you to stay connected with me. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, to him that by wisdom. To him that by wisdom made. The word wisdom there literally means a full understanding, an edge-to-edge knowledge, a complete understanding of the topic. And in the Bible, the psalmist says that God created all things because He understands everything. There was a Disney movie that came out years ago, and there was a song that came out of the movie, and the song said, Mother Knows Best. And I remember growing up and hearing my mama say that. Son, mama just knows best. And a lot of times I'd walk away and I'm like, mama don't know nothing, you know. I want you to hear this today. Please listen, church. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you need. I don't know what's going on in your life. But God always knows best. Say that with me. God always knows best. I mean, I'm sure there have been times in your life when you didn't understand. Hadn't there been? God, I don't understand. And there have been times in my life I was like, Lord, I don't understand, but listen to me. I may not understand, but God does. I mean, you remember, right? When Job came to God, he lost his health. He had lost his wealth, his possessions, his money. He had lost his family. We don't talk about this one. He had lost his dignity. These boils and these sores. And he had even lost his testimony because his friends were questioning his character. Is that not true? We would say that man has lost everything. And finally, he shows his humanity. Are you listening? And he goes to God. And he said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what I did. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what you're doing. It's easy for us to read the story and understand more than Job because we saw the meeting in heaven with God and Satan. We understood what God was doing. Listen to me. Job did not understand. And finally, after 30 chapters, he comes to God and said, God, I don't get it. This was after he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This is after he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. This is after that. And he said, God, I don't understand. I need some answers. And so God just listens. You ever just had somebody come to you, and they're just upset, and the best thing you could do is just listen? Men, nod your head. That's a good time to nod your head. Just listen. God, just listen. But then in Job chapter 38, the Bible says this, then the Lord answered Job. Out of the whirlwind. He didn't answer him in a still small voice. That would have been nice. He answered him out of a whirlwind. And this is what he said. Who is this, verse 2, that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who are you to question God? Oh, it gets better. He said, gird up now thy loins like a man. You know what he's saying? God said, put your big boy britches on. Buckle up. For I will demand of thee and answer thee now. You've been questioning, you've been murmuring, you've been complaining, and you come to God, and you come to God with an offense, and now I'm going to answer you right now, so you better cinch him up, son. He said, verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, Job, if thou hast understanding. How many believe right about that time Job was like, man, I've really not done well here. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, Job? Since you're so smart, since you think you have such understanding. Job, talk to me, I'm God. I was there. I set everything in motion. I told the waters where to start and where to stop. The earth rotates on an axis that I set up. I put it the perfect distance from the sun. I set everything in motion. I birthed the stars. I know them by name. I was there when I created you in my own image. Job, what are you talking about if you have knowledge? Job was like, you're right. By the way, God did this for 3 chapters. And Job said not a word because there's nothing to say. Yes, there are things that happen where we don't always understand. For instance, I'll make the statement as I close my thoughts today. Life is not fair. I've learned that. How many have learned that? Raise your hand. Life is not fair. Miss Doris Cox this week finding her daughter dead upstairs in their home. That's not fair. My brother at his church on Friday preaching a funeral for a 4-year-old little girl. That's not fair. Family just started coming to their church about a year ago. 4-year-old little girl named Harper. She is beautiful. I have a 4-year-old. I can relate. She had a birth defect that nobody had ever picked up on. Long story short, they thought she had a heart attack. She died on Monday morning. They had a funeral on Friday. 4 years old. you think of the grieving mom and dad right now. Life is not fair. Dr. Litton and I spent a lot of time this week eating because that man loves to eat. Tuesday night after the service, we went to cookout. It was we hung out here for a while. It got late. He said, "I just want a milkshake." Jim Moore took him hunting that day and took him to eat at Moore's. And Jimmy, I think you ate with him too. He sent me a text. I never thought I would see Curtis Linton send out. He sent me a text after that. He said, "I never want to see food again." Evidently, they'd eaten so much. So after church, he said, "You know what? All I want is a milkshake." So we went to cookout. He ended up ordering food and eating all of it. But anyway, we stayed there. It was 12 o'clock, 12:30. We were just talking. And he told me a story about when he was able, had the privilege of going to Russia in 1990 after the Berlin Wall had fallen. Communism was being dispersed away. They were getting liberty and some freedoms back that they had never had before, that generation. And he had the opportunity to go and preach in a conference, an open conference, which was rare. And so there were 2,000 to 3,000 people there at that conference. And in fact, his translator was the translator that translated for Billy Graham when he would go do crusades there. And so he's a translator. He said, "I'm not even sure the translator said what I said," but he was fantastic. And so he preached, and one of the points of his message was this. He said, "I've learned a lot in life." And he says, "One of the things I've learned in life is I've learned that life is not fair." He said, "What has happened to you people through these decades and decades of communism, that's not fair." He said, "The pain that you and your family and your parents and your grandparents have experienced," he said, "that's not fair. The poverty that you have known all of your life," he said, "that's not fair." He said, "The oppression that you have lived under is not fair." He said, "I've learned that in every walk of life, that in every edge of every continent, life is not fair." But he said, "But what I have learned is that even though life is not fair," he said, "I've learned that God is fair." It was a great service. God moved. People were saved. Afterwards, he was introduced to a man who was known in that culture as the living martyr. When he was introduced, he was a little bit taken back. Dr. Linton was in his late 30s at this time. The man was missing an eye. And it looked like somebody had just scratched out and clawed out the eye socket. And then the man, he told a story. This man, he had just gotten out of prison from Siberia. He had been in prison in Siberia for 26 years, listen to me, for preaching the gospel. Because he refused to denounce his faith in Christ, before he was thrown in prison, they killed his wife in front of him. And they put attack dogs on his small children and they ripped their limbs off of their body because he would not denounce Christ. He said, "Dr. Linton, I appreciate your passion and your zeal." He said, "But you said something tonight that I adamantly disagree with." Of course, 38, 39, 40 years old, Brother Kerr's like, "What did I say? Did I say a bad word?" He wasn't sure what he said. Culture's different. He said, "You said your message. You said life is not fair." He said, "You're right." He said, "Spending 26 years in a prison, having your eye clawed out, being persecuted and beaten for decades because you would not renounce Christ is not fair." He said, "Your wife being murdered in front of you because you preach the gospel, you're right, it is not fair. Your kids, their limbs being ripped off of their body, being devoured by these attack dogs, that is not fair. Dr. Linton, you're right. Life is not fair." But he said, "God is not fair either." Now listen. He said, "Because if God were fair, we would all die in our sin. If God were fair, and we got what we deserve, we would spend an eternity in hell if God were fair. If God were fair, we would have to pay for our own sin,
not God's glorious holy Son, Jesus Christ. He said, Dr. Linton, life is not fair. And I've learned that God is not fair either. He said, but young man, please hear me. God is always good. He's always good. He said, as he told that in his one eye, the tears just streamed down. He said, I'm glad I don't serve a God that's fair, but I'm glad I serve a God that's good. Church, give thanks, for he is good. Bow your heads with me if you would. Just the piano playing. Here's the invitation. It's very simple. You're here and you have something to be thankful for, and it's worthy of bringing it to an altar and saying, God, thank you for being so good. I want to invite you right now. Would you just step out from where you are and just get around an altar and just say, God, I give thanks today because you're good. He's good because of who he is. He's good because of what he gives. Oh, church, he's good because of what he's done in your life. He's good. And oh, our God is good because of what he knows. He does know best. And when we don't understand, God does. And we rejoice today that our God is good. If you're there at your seat, would you just stand with us reverently? We're all standing, unless you're kneeling here at the altar, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're there praying, that's fine. But would you just lift up your praise today and start handpicking things that God's done? Handpicking things that God has given. Handpicking even times when you haven't understood, but you know He does. And would you this morning just give thanks? Just give thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Church, be thankful unto him. And bless his name. For the Lord is good. Maybe you're not around this altar, but you're at your seat. You'd say, Pastor, I have some needs. I sure would love for you to pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Nobody's looking around. I've got some needs. God bless you and 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 you back there and you over here and you up there and you over there. I see it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Preacher, I got some needs. Pray for me. Give thanks. Father, we praise you. We give thanks today because you are so good. When life is not good, and when our family may not be good, when everything else around us isn't good, God, you're still good. Nothing will, nothing can ever change that. And for that alone today, may your people be filled with thanksgiving. You are so good. We praise your name, our friend, our refuge, our protector, our provider, our redeemer, our God, our King, our Lord, our Savior. This morning we give you praise. We give you thanks. Because you're good. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name.